Right now, let's say good afternoon to Sarah Gon. She's Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations. How's your week been, Sarah?
Hi, Kathy. It's been, I've been writing a lot.
Yes, as one does.
As one does.
Can we please talk about expropriation of land without compensation for black communities? What does this mean? I did a double take when I saw that headline.
Okay, I really see black communities not because it's necessarily different to white communities, but essentially what we're very concerned about is that expropriation without compensation has been taking place, and currently the victims are largely black. And I want to just give a few examples to give you an idea of what's happening, because if you're not entirely convinced that the government, when it institutes EWC, is going to make sure that, you know, it won't affect our food and commercial interests, I'm not so sure about. And if I have the time, I'd like to just give a little bit of, a little bit of update on the new expropriation of land bill, which has snuck in for comment late in December, and it's got a month. And it makes the change of the constitution look mild, dare I say. But let me start off with the sort of examples. I'll give you an idea of what's actually happening. And all of these instances have happened. They're not future happenings. In the Stanger area of Natal, there's a gentleman currently fighting for the return of over 31,000 hectares of land, which the Kwadukuza local municipality expropriated from him without his knowledge. In Mpumalanga, there's a large farm which is under competing claims from different communities. The farm owner was given 7 days, most of them over the 2018 Easter weekend, to hand over the farm's keys to the state, quote unquote. Sorry, let me just find the other examples. And these are provided courtesy of colleagues Gabriel Krauss and Dr. Anthea Jeffrey, and one which I've experienced, which I've seen myself. In Ekuteleni, which is also in Natal, people were allegedly burnt out of their houses by Chief Tandazani Zulu's impi under police supervision, without consequences or even report by those urban elites who are most closely connected to the case.
Wow.
The Umnini Trust members have had their land south of Durban since the 1860s, but the Ingonyama Trust, and the sole trustee of whom is King Zwelithini, has recently taken to leasing that land out to third parties and collecting rent for themselves. It just goes on like that, but let me come a little bit closer to home, in that in Alexandra, the Alexandra Properties Association, Alexandra Property Owners Rights and the Property Owners Association have been trying for decades to either get restitution or to get compensation. They were thrown off their land in 1986 under apartheid. Now, much of this land was purchased by their forebears in the early part of the 20th century. So these people have been on this land for a hell of a long time.
Yeah.
And basically they eventually, with some assistance, got right to either receive land or receive compensation. Nothing's happened. Agreement's been reached, but it's not been honored. And in another example in Germiston is an informal settlement on a company-owned land. Although the company initially objected, they reached an agreement, and the property developer does not want to evict the residents and has got the FNB, First National Bank, to go on board to improve their living standards. The council won't allow them to do that because they've demarcated the land for undefined property development, which basically most of these examples mean that the poor victims of all this are not prepared to pay somebody to give them their land back. That's the essence of it. So this is all a little microcosm of stuff that is already happening. Just to come to my colleagues, Dr. Anthea Jeffries, who produce comments on this new expropriation bill. I'm not going to go into it in great detail because it's very, very dense. But just to give you some idea, she holds that it's a draconian measure that can be used to strip millions of South Africans of their homes and other assets without the prior court orders, fair procedures, or equitable compensation which the Constitution requires. She thinks, she believes it's a contradiction of three sections in the Constitution. So, you know, there go your constitutional rights. But she gives a fairly, shall we say, graphic example. And she says, under the bill, law-abiding owners will have fewer rights than criminals illegally using a warehouse to store heroin. Though the warehouse may be seized by the state, this can be done only after its use for criminal purposes has been proved and a court order for its confiscation has been obtained. But a home can be expropriated by a municipality following the few simple steps that she discusses without ever having to prove to a court that the expropriation is really in the public interest or that the compensation is truly just and equitable. So, you know, as I say, by sleight of hand, while everyone's looking at the constitutional changes, they bring in this new bill.
Actually, while everyone's watching,
it's just scary.
What's his name? Agrizi.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
No, absolutely. It's everything has been sold. And what hasn't been sold will be sold once it's taken. I'm putting too harsh a spin on it. But the point is that, you know, basically, our president says, trust us, we will not do anything to interfere with farming, you know, commercial farming and food interests. Certainly. Yes, will they? Can they? Do they intend to? Will they have control of the issue? I don't want to wait and see.
Sarah, I want to have a tachless, down to earth, absolutely straight conversation with you, and maybe we can do it next week actually, about land expropriation and the need for it. Mm. You know, how else do you right the wrongs of the past? And we need to do that as white people. You and I've had this conversation.
Let me just put it in one sentence, and we can certainly look at it in more detail. We've done a lot of work on it, and I've got, in fact, you may want to actually speak to a colleague of mine who's a real expert on this. But basically we'll tell you that there is land, that no compensation is something that can already be done without interfering with the Constitution. And the real problem is not whether there's enough land or enough laws, but simply that the government has failed to handle the process efficiently.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a nutshell.
Sarah Gunn, thank you so much for your time. Always a pleasure to hear your insights. And, you know, I think that you certainly give me food for thought every week. Yeah.